Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
I want to continue with the mindset theme. Throw out a term called what I call blockers, you know, mental blockers that might be keeping you either unemployed or unhappily employed, and what you may be able to start doing to be able to work through those blockers so that you can achieve your goals.
Yeah, that'll be great. Do we want to start with what is a blocker? How do we define that?
Yeah, it's a great question. A blocker is a self-defeating habit pattern, for example. And you learn it, by the way, innocently. The key is that you don't unlearn it. And I'm going to give you a real good example. When you're a baby, you cry because you're hungry. You have to, because in order to survive, you need to let someone know you're hungry, or you need change, or you're in pain, or you're thirsty, or you're whatever, so that an adult, hopefully a loving one, will come and take care of your needs. Right. So it is something that you do at that point that is it's a survival modality. Right. But if as an adult, as an older, hopefully experienced adult, if I cry because I'm hungry, someone's going to think I've got crazy all over my face. So it is a self-defeating habit pattern, right? So you've got to learn at some point, what point do you stop crying when you're hungry and you just go to the refrigerator and get something to eat? You know, so you have to unlearn some of these patterns that might have served you at one point, but they're no longer serving you. And so it could be something that you did yourself, or it could be something that someone did for you. For example, someone might lack self-confidence because they've been told they were stupid. My mom had this problem. You know, she was like, well, people told me whenever I was a kid that my IQ was really low and that I was not intelligent. I'm like, okay, mom, you need to unbelieve that, right? Because that is so not true, right? So it's where you fall into these beliefs about yourself that are self-defeating, and it can keep you from being able to obtain goals. And it could be goals as it relates to finding a perfect partner, finding a perfect place to live, finding a perfect job. It could be finding abundance. It can be finding peace or love. It could be all kinds of things. But those are what we really want to talk about in the context of looking for your next career opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So I suppose the first step then would be that self-assessment. Do you have blockers? Are there things that you can do to figure out, do I have blockers? Am I in patterns that I'm not even aware of?
That's a really great question. I know someone very close to me that would say that he doesn't have any blockers. So I think that it's hard to start from there. I think where you have to start from is, are you right now feeling love, joy, peace, fulfillment? Are you enthusiastic? Did you wake up this morning excited to tackle the day? If you don't feel all those things, you are operating under a blocker.
Mm.
So if you don't do things because you're fearful, if you're afraid of failure, if you lack self-confidence, or on the alternative side, you're overconfident, you're arrogant, you're all of the, you know, you feel angry, you know, you're upset with your neighbor, those are all blockers, y'all, every single one of them. Because if you're not in that spiritual, those feelings of peace, love, joy, fulfillment, enthusiasm, enlightenment, what everybody wants to get to, then you're working a blocker. The question is, how do you assess that whenever it comes to applying for a job? And we could probably give some real examples of it. I'll give one, and then we'll see what the beautiful faces that are staring at me maybe have one as well. But we had a gal this week that applied for a position and I was helping the recruiting email because we were buried, which I loved it. We were so busy. It was so much fun. But she applied for a position that requires 5 years of fully dedicated experience as a CRA. And that would be industry CRA, a position that where you gain that experience working for a CRO or a sponsor. She only had 7 months of an internship as a CRA. Seriously underqualified. Now, here's the interesting thing. On our website, we had positions that only required 1 year. That isn't the job she applied for. We also have positions that only required 3 years. Those are not the jobs that she applied for. She went for the 5-year job when she's only got a 7-month internship program. That's it. Mm. And the rub is that she just did this like a month ago. And Ma told her, you're underqualified. We can't represent you. So here she did it again. And so I sent her an email and I said, you are seriously underqualified for this job. And it's unfortunate because this causes me to now question your judgment. Right? So, and she comes back to me and she says, well, I really want to break into the industry. I'm very passionate about it. Can you give me coaching? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, step number one is don't apply for jobs that you're seriously underqualified for. Here's the thing, and this is the blocker, right? What do you think is causing her to do that? Why do you think she sidestepped the 1 year? Because I would have looked at her for the 1 year job. Why do you guys think that she did that? Anybody got an idea?
Thinking she could potentially slip through the cracks? To where somebody would pick up the phone, somebody would talk to her?
Maybe.
You know, it's like almost a desperation act.
Maybe. Why else?
I don't know in terms of blockers, but I do know right now, especially with people my age, and you said she, so I'm assuming she's a woman. but there is this idea that, you know, men will often apply for jobs that they're 75% qualified for, well, women will want to reach for 100%. So it's still wildly unqualified, but if she has that mindset of like, oh, well, I'm not 100%, but I want to be able to apply like I see my male counterparts do, so I'm going to do it at 75%. It's like, well, you're not at 75. You're probably hitting maybe 30 to 20. You know, it's such a vast discrepancy. And in terms of blockers, it's like, you want to get there faster instead of, you know, sometimes it's a waiting game. It's putting in the time and the hours, and in a world where we want things now and we get things now, waiting and putting in that effort does not come naturally to a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, there is that too, isn't there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There could be something else too. Anybody else think of something? You guys ever heard of sour grapes? The statement of sour grapes? Mm-hmm. Well, they're not going to consider me anyway, so why not just do this? You know, from my concept, I kind of felt like, I mean, how in the world did she, if she had any bone of self-assessment in her at all, she would have known that she would have either been ghosted or rejected because she was so seriously underqualified. So maybe she has such a self-defeating prophecy about her situation that she went after something that she knew that she would not be able to obtain. It would be like me signing up for a marathon and then goading someone into thinking that I was going to win it. Y'all, I can't even run a 5K. I'm not going to be able to run a marathon, right? I mean, you know when you sign up for it that you're not going to be able to do it. There could be that. Could be a blocker. Something's operating because she sidestepped the 1 year one. And someone might be saying, well, why didn't you just to go tell her, hey, I'll consider you for the 1 year one? Because now I don't trust her judgment. I don't trust her judgment to make the right decisions for herself and for the company that she's applying for and for those poor subjects, these individuals that need relief from cancer or Parkinson's or whatever. Am I really going to put someone or consider someone that's that seriously underqualified for any position now? Spoiler alert, no. She's permanently pulled from our pool because that's 2 times we've told her she's completely overqualified and she's not listened and she didn't take an opportunity to apply for something that she, to Maya's part, 75% qualified for, mm-hmm. 75% qualified for that we would have considered her for. It's a blocker that caused her to do that behavior. That to me is a self-defeating, it's a fulfilling prophecy, right? It's a self-defeating habit pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the not assessing where you're at, the percentage wise, because the leap, we appreciate a little bit of a leap, you know, a leap of faith, a miracle, you know, whatever you want to call it, that little bit to get you there. We understand if you're close, we'll probably consider you. As Angela said, if she only had 7 months of an internship, she'd still probably consider her for the 1 year
Absolutely
of experience. Yeah. So it's not that we're discouraging folks to take a little bit of a jump. But there is a threshold that you're mm-hmm. just not self-assessing, especially if there's something out there that's a better fit. So definitely that awareness of what is going to be the best fit for me right now? What is my trajectory? How do I get from point A to point B in a way that, to Angela's point, doesn't potentially set you up to harm others, that patient safety? It's not like we're in the fashion industry or something, you know, we're dealing with folks who have medical issues and this is life or death. So that's really serious. So being aware of your container that you're in, it's just that whole piece of self-awareness. So then how about examples? I think we discussed this earlier this week, maybe someone not taking accountability for, you know, that piece of the self-assessment, not taking accountability for their actions in a negative way. Anybody have an example for that?
Well, I have one. He's a he. So when it comes to arrogance, that's unfortunately sometimes the case. But he would actually forward his work to his managers to ask, instead of following the process, loading things to the ETMF, because they had some new processes and he had been there for a while and he felt he didn't have to follow those rules. So he would just send it over to his managers for his managers to handle. And he actually got quite ugly in some of his communications, like they were there to serve him instead of the other way around. And I had to jump on a call after seeing one of his emails, just an embarrassed almost to the point that we had put our brand on them.
And that's definitely a blocker too. It's a self-defeating habit pattern. You know, whenever you reach the point of arrogance, there's, whether it's overconfidence or maybe you're burned out, maybe there's, I mean, there could be a lot of things. If I'm looking at it from a compassion perspective, you know, no one knows what this guy's path is. And the gal that applied that I had that correspondence with, I don't know what her path is either. So my heart goes out to her, you know. But with that being said, I mean, they got to work through those blockers, right? Because if he approaches every job with that level of, you're here to serve me, I'm going to be arrogant, then he is hurting his brand, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. That is also reminding me of a story that I think we had this week with the gal who, and this applies to job seekers, people maybe not being transparent with their resumes or on their LinkedIn profiles, and they'll list a title that they didn't actually hold. Maybe they'll say they were a lead CRA when they actually weren't. And I think we had a situation recently where one of them finally, you know, we dug or we talked to a reference that said, no, they weren't a lead, you know, something didn't match up that we corroborated. And then we went back to that candidate and she said, well, some other recruiter told me to add this title that I'd be more competitive. And it's like, but that wasn't the truth. That wasn't the truth of that position. And you just decided to mess up your brand by portraying something that wasn't accurate. To me, that's a blocker, passing the buck, that not taking that responsibility and accountability, saying this is not truthful. This is not an accurate representation of my employment history and the responsibilities I held. I'm not going to take that advice. That doesn't line up with my goals. That doesn't line up with my integrity. Stopping, self-assessing, and not just saying somebody told me to do that, taking that responsibility, I think, is a really important blocker as well.
Yeah, it's that balance between confidence, because I think the gal that took that advice lacked confidence. She didn't think that she had enough qualifications to get the job she wanted. And so she embellished. She took that advice, but then she blamed the recruiter. So I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we can have the discussion about desire. You know, a lot of people think that desire is a very positive emotion. Desire is actually an extremely negative emotion. You know, now that doesn't mean that you shouldn't want a perfect partner or want a job in the context of working towards achieving a goal. But when your desire gets to the point to where you're willing to do something unethical to get it, it's a very negative circumstance. You remember the discussion that we had to begin with. When you are feeling love, joy, peace, fulfillment, compassion, you know, all of these beautiful, enthusiastic things, you know, that is a more holistic feeling. And those feelings usually only happen whenever you're doing what's for the highest good of everyone, because it's a point of enlightenment. Enlightenment. And that's important. Isn't that what we're supposed to all be trying to work on to achieve on this earth? And if you have to trounce on someone else in order to be able to obtain that, then you're allowing your desire to be a negative thing. And it's called, it could cause you to take behavior or take actions that's just unethical actions, or it's going to land you in the worst case, right? To where perhaps, to Becky's point, that example, unfortunately, you know, she's not being truthful with her resume. What else would she not be truthful about? Sheds a lot of doubt, doesn't it? We had a candidate this week, actually, and I just corresponded with her yesterday. She submitted an applicant, and she had great coordinating background, excellent coordinating background, but she applied for the data position, and the data position required 1 year experience with a CRO or pharma. It didn't have to be a CRA. It could be any experience, but this client wanted you to have experience with a CRO or pharma. In other words, they didn't want a coordinator with only coordinator experience. They wanted someone that had that experience at that industry level. And this individual, and I just told them that, and they were like, well, we've worked with sponsors. Oh, I get that. Every coordinator works with sponsors, but that doesn't meet the requirements. And then she sends me a new resume that has another job added to it. It's where she said she'd worked as an internship for a year and a half at a CRO. Why can't I be qualified? I'm like, well, because that wasn't in the resume you submitted to me yesterday. And now you've just added a whole bunch of doubts to my head as to why would you do that? Why would you submit a resume for a job when you knew you were underqualified for the job? And now when I'm rejecting you, you're sending me a different resume that has different information on it. And why do you think that's okay? Now, again, there's blockers, right? I mean, is it lack of confidence? Is it entitlement? Is it arrogance? Is it, I don't believe I'm going to get it anyway? Is it, I don't know what it is, right? But these are examples of the fact that you've got something going on that you need to work through in order to have the right mindset to be competitive for good jobs.
I think a lot of it has to do with people don't realize there's a real person on the other end of their application. So I think sometimes they're almost surprised when they get a response. It's like, oh, why are you even looking at me? Because you applied for a job.
Yeah, to your point, Carrie, we're in such a ghosting culture these days. I mean, I feel like that can apply to so many different topics that people don't expect a real person, AI, you know, all of this kind of filters into that, Carrie. I think you're totally right. It's very hard to remember that there are and possibly are human beings on the other end, especially in an industry that is this important and, you know, safety is number one and health. And I mean, it's just so necessary to treat that with the respect it deserves and not submitting something that you know is just not right.
Well, and then not arguing with the person when they actually give you feedback, because that was the one thing. I love that you guys just brought that up, because there was a part of me when we were so buried the last couple of days and I was trying to give feedback. I'm sorry, we can't consider you because of this, because of that, or whatever. And also, people are coming back with their fangs out and they're upset with the fact that I rejected them. I'm like, well, no wonder people ghost you guys. I mean, y'all are rude. I'm trying to give you advice here and tell you why we're not moving forward with you. And, you know, no, I mean, I should have just hit the delete button and then just moved on, you know. I mean, and that is the thing, you know, when someone does take the time to give you that feedback, maybe it stings a little, but it is a perception. You can take it or you can discount it, but at least consider it. And if there's anything to it, because for those of you that were rude to me this week when I rejected you, we won't represent you now. Because if you're rude to me, what happens whenever that site asks you a question or your manager challenges you to the example that Carrie gave you, or the situation changes or you get stressful or whatever? You treat people the way you treat people. You treated me the way you're going to treat the site. You treated me the way you're going to treat your manager. You treated me the way you're going to treat your colleague. I mean, you know, again, if you've got a blocker running and you're not looking at life in a sense of fulfillment and what's for the highest good of everyone, then your behavior is going to respond to such, and it will impact you. You'll be the one that misses out on your blessings. You'll be the one that stays unemployed or unhappily employed. It's a direct correlation to what your experience is.
Any other thoughts, team, before we wrap this up? Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, team. This has been such an interesting topic. I love that we went here because it's so applicable to so many different situations. Well, I hope you guys out there listening will think about this topic as well. And if you want to explore more of our content, you can visit CRAresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox. So feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm.